Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. Please be seated. An old legend claims that the Cynic philosopher Diogenes walked the streets of Athens all day long with a lighted lamp, shining it into the faces of everyone he met, claiming that he was looking for one honest man. Alexander the Great was supposedly so impressed by Diogenes that when the two of them finally met, Alexander offered him anything, absolutely any favor he wanted, to which Diogenes replied, "Could you move a little to the right? You're blocking my sun." Diogenes' search for truth represents mankind's belief that light is the solution to all of our problems. If you want to reduce crime, if you want to protect your home, install better security lighting. If you want to put an end to corruption in business or politics, you hold leadership up to the light of public scrutiny. If you want to curb evil and lies and all of the immorality, you expose it to the light of truth. So Scripture often uses the images of light and darkness. The very first chapter of Scripture, we're told that there was darkness upon the face of the deep when God spoke the first creating words, "Let there be light," and there was light. Throughout Scripture, foolishness and ignorance are seen as darkness, but wisdom is light. Gloom, despair, agony, captivity. Hell is described as utter darkness, where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. But life is light. Satan is the prince of darkness, but the Lord is my light and my salvation. And in today's epistle from Ephesians 5, St. Paul used darkness to show us our sin, to reveal our immorality, our unbelief, the evil that's within us. Now, sin may not always seem so dark. It can be bright and dazzling, like a flashing neon sign that calls and holds on to our attention. It lures us with promises of power and wealth and pleasure, but it always leaves us poor in shame and disgrace and in the darkness of death. Like bugs swarming around a porch light on a warm summer evening, being attracted to its death, sin draws us in. It attracts and holds our attention. Have you ever experienced total darkness? There are caves a few miles southwest of here where guides will lead you into the deepest, darkest recesses of the earth and allow you to experience total darkness for just a few moments. They turn off all the lights, and in those moments, you can't see a thing. You can't see your hands in front of your face. You can't see anyone around you. You lose your bearings and your sense of balance, and instinctively you reach out to grab a hold of anything that's stable. And your mind begins to race, and panic sets in. What if they can't turn the lights back on again? There is absolutely no way we'll ever find our way out of here. Then with a flick of the switch, the lights come back on, and everyone breathes this collective sigh of relief, and the tour goes on. Surely you recognize from your own personal experience that breaking God's law leads to darkness. Your idolatry, your abuse of God's name, your despising of God's word, your disrespecting of authorities, your anger and hatred, your sexual immorality, your lust, your gossip, Your slander, your selfishness, your greed have led you into some of the deepest, darkest moments of your lives. And in those times, you lost your bearings. You went into panic mode as you realized that there is absolutely no way out for a sinner like you. Paul's diagnosis of our condition really shouldn't come as any surprise. He said, once, at one time, you were darkness. Notice he didn't say you lived in darkness. He didn't say you were surrounded by a corrupt and godless culture. What he said was, once you were darkness, you were sin. You were spiritually blind from birth. You were dead. You were an enemy of God. That is deep darkness. And somehow we've convinced ourselves that there's safety in this darkness. Like criminals who do their work under the cover of night so people can't really see what they're up to. Sinners like us fear exposure. Someone might see what we're doing. Someone might catch us in the act. Someone may uncover all of our secrets. And so we hide in the darkness and think that we're safe, that no one really knows what we're doing. King David thought that way too, until he was confronted with the sin with Bathsheba and all the cover-up, all the darkness that went along with it. Then he had to confess. And years later, he wrote, "If I say, surely the darkness will cover me and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as day, for darkness is as light to you." In other words, God sees into our darkness. God knows our sin. And God shone the true light into our darkness. Jesus is the light of the world. He entered the world through the darkness of a silent night in Bethlehem. And all throughout his life and ministry, he was confronted by the darkness. Darkness in Nicodemus, who feared even being seen with Jesus and so came to him by night. The darkness in the Garden of Gethsemane when Judas betrayed him with a kiss. The darkness of jealousy and lies and hatred of the Jewish authorities. The darkness of injustice and Roman brutality as he was crucified in the eerie darkness that covered the whole world that afternoon as he died on a cross, forsaken by his Father in heaven. That's deep darkness. That's total darkness. Jesus endured all of that darkness. He took all of your darkness and my darkness into the stone-cold darkness of a tomb, and that's where he left it. As he arose again in the brightness and splendor of Easter morning, the darkness could not overcome him, for in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Jesus also said, "Everyone who does evil hates the light, will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly what he has been done through God." The light fills the darkness. The light exposes all that we've done and said and thought. And that is humiliating. That's shameful. It weighs heavy on us until we come out into the open, until we come into the light, until we confess and believe all that Jesus has done for us. And then what a relief to realize that we are forgiven of all of our sin, that we don't have to hide in the darkness anymore. Paul said, at one time you were darkness, but now you're light in the Lord. St. Peter said, God has called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Now you've been bathed in light. Now you are baptized. Now you are enlightened. Now you are light. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. Let your light so shine. Paul said, walk, live as baptized children of the light. For the fruit of the light is found in all that is good and right and true, and try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. The light burns within you. The light empowers you to do what you know is pleasing to the Lord, to live a life that gives glory to your Father in heaven, the light that produces a Christ-like life. Paul continued, take no part, have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness. Instead, expose them, for it's shameful to even speak of the things that they do in secret. In the marketplaces of the Near East, the shops were just little rooms with no windows. And so before a person would spend a large amount of money on any merchandise, you would first of all take it out into the street and expose it to the sunlight, that the light might reveal any flaws or imperfections. Paul encourages you and me to do the same, to expose the deeds of darkness, to hold our every action, every word, every decision, every motive to the light of Christ. To reveal its true character, to reveal what is truly pleasing to our Lord. Martin Luther wrote of a man named Bernard who lived in 12th century France. As a young man, Bernard was kidnapped by a band of outlaws and held captive in a province known as Wormwood. In a valley of darkness. His captors demanded that he entertain them, but instead of singing silly songs or telling funny jokes, Bernard gave a testimony, his witness to his Lord and Savior Jesus. His captors were so impressed, they set him free. And in time, Bernard became a priest, and he made it his mission to establish hostels along dark and dreary ways so that visitors could find shelter and safety. And of course, the first one that Bernard built was in that province of Wormwood, in that valley of darkness, and some of the men who had once held him captive helped him to build it. They called this hostel Clairvaux, the Valley of Light. And the man who built it, the priest, they called Saint Bernard of Clairvaux. He was the light that shone into the darkness and overcame it. Today, in this season of Lent, the word of the Lord encourages us to the same. It reminds us, once you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of the light. Produce the fruits of life, everything that is good and right and true. Seek to rid your valley, wherever that valley might be, rid your valley of darkness and let the light of Christ shine. In the name of Jesus, amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.